The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, July 9th, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Grace and peace in the name of our Lord, our Savior, Jesus, our Christ, and welcome this morning. It's good to see you. Let us continue now as we worship God, our Savior, in the name of Christ, our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, truly today is the day that you have made. It unfolds before us, and for us, loving God, it's uncertain what it may truly hold. Maybe we have an idea. Maybe we have plans. But Father, you're the only one that really knows. So let us trust in you. For truly today is the day that you have made. May we rejoice and be glad in it. And may we come now to worship you in spirit and in truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me. And like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. The Lord has promised good to me, his word, my hope, secure. As long as life endures, my chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood, his mercy reigns, unending love, amazing grace. shall soon dissolve like snow. The sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me.
Liturgy for today is from Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self. But I see in my members another law at war with the law of my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
This may be one of the hardest passages really to read, because it sounds like you've went around to your elbow to get to your fingers twice. You know, it's kind of one of those. But it's the struggle within, but it's the real struggle within. Paul in chapter 7 is coming to some conclusions. And when we hit chapter 8, it starts out with therefore. So now he's made this case, and we'll transition to chapter 8, and we'll get there next week. But I just want you to know the transition's coming. And so this message this morning is sort of a transition into that. But it addresses some real things for us this morning. Real, real things. In all of Paul's writings, this little slice of Romans gives us a view of the apostle that we are seldom afforded. Sometimes we have the idea that Paul was this gigantic Christian, stalwart, strong, ever struggling, beaten but not put down, this ever-present, always right kind of diehard of a Christian person, and we read his letters, and he's admonishing these churches, you know, to do this and to live right and to hold on to what you once loved. And, you know, we get Paul's kind of that matter-of-fact guy, but all of a sudden, we get this window into Paul in this little passage. As he comes down to transition his thought, he kind of gets real here for a minute. And he lets us see that even the mighty Paul faces a struggle. Even this apostle who was struck blind on a Damascus road, this apostle who now sits in chains as he writes this very book, who has been through and founded churches all over Mesopotamia, this apostle Paul, shipwrecked, jailed, beaten, ran out of town. This great pioneer faces a struggle. We have to remember that Paul is writing to a believing community. The person to whom he writes, for the most part, I think, have accepted Christ as Savior, and I pray, Lord, as well. Because what Paul talks about really applies to those who believe in Christ. And maybe it's a good litmus test of where we are in our journey, whether we're even starting on it or not. How many of you have heard the phrase, the road to hell is paved with good intentions? Now, that word hell can be misery, pain, suffering. It don't necessarily mean literal hell, but it could. It's with good intentions. That's what Paul's saying here. I want to do it. You know, I know what I should do, but there's a battle going on. Paul? What did he just say? Let's look at it just for a minute again. Paul is saying this. I do not understand my own actions. Have you ever thought that too? How many of you remember a show, and I can't remember the name of it, but it had Steve Urkel in it? Family Matters. How many of you remember that show? Famous phrase from Steve Urkel was what? Then I knew that. You know? How many of you step back and think, oh no, did I do that? How many of you have watched Forrest Gump? Stupid is as stupid does, and life's like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. It bothers me to open a box of chocolates and I find fingerprints in them. You know, somebody's been checking it out. I like to tell people, please read the lid. It's on there. But Paul is saying, I can't believe it. He's being real here. I do not understand my own actions, Paul. For I do not do what I want. How many of us have been there? What gets in the way of us doing what we want to do? Wait a minute. Maybe we should ask the question, what is it that we want to do? Maybe we shouldn't do some things that we want. Maybe that's Paul's dilemma. But I do the very thing I hate. Okay, this is a check for you. How many of you have said, I don't want to be like my mom or dad? Come on. You've thought it, haven't you? How many times, though, have you heard them in your words just after they left your lips? Oh, man. You know, I think that's what Paul's saying, don't you? You know, I don't want to do that. I don't want, but it happens. Paul, our Christian man who became Saul, from Saul to Paul, he's got this struggle. I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer that I do it, but sin that dwells in me. So Paul is going to make a distinction for us between good and bad, right and wrong, sin and righteousness. And it is the real struggle within, isn't it? It is the struggle. To say we don't have the struggle might indicate we're not Christ born. For I told you this is about the believers. You see, the Christian should have this struggle. This should indeed be part of your everyday faith journey. It was for Paul. It doesn't go away. Sorry. So if it's part of the struggle and it doesn't go away, what good does it serve to keep you humble and me humble? You see, it takes humility to be a Christian. I have to realize that I am mortal, that I have a limited amount of resources, and that I must rely on God and His infinite resources. And I also have to meet in humility and join with Paul. I couldn't believe he said it, much less wrote it, or even thought it. Wretched man that I am. But it's the truth, isn't it? You see, whether you are ultra rich or ultra poor, your soul's plight is still the same. It really doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. Your inner struggle and necessity of a Savior is the same. But what I've noticed is that we who are believers and on this journey called faith, we struggle with this stuff within. We struggle with, I shouldn't have done that, and I should have done that different, and I wish I'd have been more loving and caring and forgiving. And that's just part of it, isn't it? Say amen if it is. Amen. And it must continue to be so. But I would worry if you didn't have it. I would worry if you could lie and it not bother you. I would worry if you could cheat your neighbor and it not bother you. I would worry if the cashier gave you back an extra $10 and you stuffed it in your pocket and said, ha, 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 I got it up on them today. I would worry. I would worry that in secret you were completely happy with the things that were going on that were not good. You see, I believe the Holy Spirit convicts us along the way. And I believe it seeks to guide us and to lead us. And I believe that this struggle is for the Christian unique, because it's the struggle to do better, to grow in our faith. Take out your bulletin for just a minute. We're going to revisit our journey and faith phrase again. Told you we was coming back to this. It's Faith Theme 2017. Together, beginning with healthy things grow. Healthy things grow. Growing things change. Change is a challenge. Challenge forces us to trust God. Trusting God makes us healthy. Healthy things grow. We have to be truthful. I don't think I've met a perfect person in my life, and I certainly don't see one in the mirror in the morning. But I am grateful, as is Paul, thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, that it isn't about perfection, but it's about progression. And part of that struggle is realizing that I have faults and failures and confessing those faults and failures. And oh my, I'm going to use a word that people get so scared of, repenting of them. Not continuing in them. Not at all. How many of you have been around hogs, any? Pigs, hogs? I notice you don't have a lot of those out here. How many of you have ever been to a good 4-H show and looked at the pigs and the hogs, how clean they were? Man, I had me one. Her name was Susie. She was a China White. Does anybody know what a China White is? It's a kind of pig. Gets really big. It's got a high muscle to fat, and it was just, I had kept that old gal so clean. Only way you could get her in a truck to take her to the fair was you stuck your fingers in her nose holes. And she squealed so, but she'd get in the truck. That's why they put one of the rings, they have a ring in their nose. Two is to keep from rooting up everything. I kept that hog clean for a week. Took this thing to the 4-H show, and I got third place. I was happy as could be. I was about Nick's age. And Daddy was laughing. He said, "That's the cleanest hog I've ever seen. And all of these hogs are clean." He said, "But you know what that hog's going to do when you get home, don't you? It's going straight in that pit, and it's going to wallow." I said, "No, I've kept her clean. She's used to being clean now. Do you know what she did when we got home? She was inside out, upside down, and all around. We had bacon that winter. That's why we had her. You knew that's what was going to happen. If you keep them padded up, they're easier to hit. They don't run from you. It's just the way it is, you know, growing up on the farm. That's a sad story, isn't it, honey?" That's the struggle, isn't it? If you're happy in the mud and you can wallow in it all day, you better check your faith calendar, your faith relationship, your faith thermometer, and your relationship meter. For the Christian, we should not be content in sin. And that struggle should keep us humble before God, trusting in God, depending in God. That's what made the Apostle Paul so strong. It's this little window into his faith journey of humbling himself, the mighty Apostle Paul, who knows by this point that many churches started on his very word, his very witness, his very sacrifice. The mighty Apostle Paul coming down to the end of it, writing his best work, I think almost his final letter, is still humble and realizing, "I'm a sinner saved by grace. Even I, the mighty Paul, face that struggle that keeps me humble." The real struggle is staying humble and living in humility and seeking God in all things, keeping it in perspective, like standing on top of a mountain gives you perspective. Kneeling before the cross gives you perspective. Hearing the words of this mighty apostle should give us perspective. And maybe we could join his words, "What a wretched person I am, but thanks be to God in Christ Jesus. I don't have to stay that way." There's redemption. There's salvation. And here's the other thing about the struggle. The more you struggle, and the more often you struggle, the purpose of the struggle is to make you stronger, that you will grow in faith, and that you'll begin to start seeing the deceptions and the traps of Satan, and to stop listening to his whisper and listening to that still small voice of God, to be able to discern the tongue of the serpent versus the Spirit of God. And the struggle begins to be that which lets us grow in grace and mercy. So may you know the struggle within. It's real. It doesn't go away. But it has an important role in our faith journey to keep us in humility and knowing God's grace. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. I want you to think about where you are in your journey. I would pray this morning that you know this struggle to be real for you. I would pray this morning that you know that humility is the answer. And I pray that you aren't comfortable in sin and that there is that conflict that you can continue to give it to God in humility. I face it every single day. Every single day. And I bet you do too. Embrace it. It is part of your journey to strengthen you and your reliance on God, to walk humbly before God in grace through Jesus Christ. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Pastor, pray for me. The struggle is strong. If that is you, I'll lift you up, especially this week. Slip your hand up. Amen. Pastor, that humility thing is hard. I need some prayers there. Pray for me this week if that's you, so I can lift you up. Amen. Pastor, I want to pray for others. I do have that struggle. And now I know why. And now I know why there's a purpose to it. So I'll pray for others this week to learn that as well. If you'll do that, slip your hand up this morning. Amen. Pastor, I just have some stuff I'm facing this week. Need a few extra prayers. Would you pray for me? Slip your hand up. Amen. Our gracious and loving God, may you hear our hearts and prayers this Sabbath day. May we know that the struggle within is to strengthen us. And may we humbly accept that challenge and that struggle as your Spirit is guiding us to humility, to regrets, to sorrows, to repentance, that we may not be comfortable doing that which we don't want to do. May we know grace, but let us not take it for granted, and let us not cheapen it by abusing it. Let us rely on you and realize that our hope is truly in you. Hear our hearts and prayers this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What a blessedness, what a peace is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, leaning to from all alarm. Leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how sweet to walk in this pilgrim way, leaning on the everlasting arms. Oh, how bright the path grows from day to day, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarm. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning, leaning, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning, leaning, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Now may the grace and peace of God go with you, bless you, and keep you. May His countenance shine upon you. May His grace fill you, keep you, and sustain you. May the struggle go, but may you grow in the midst of God's grace. And truly, may His grace and peace bless you, and His presence comfort you. Now go in peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rockspringsumc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.